Today we're going to finish this sermon series I thought would last longer, but the Lord has put something else on my heart as we begin to exit out of 23. Today we're going to bring the finale to Changing the Game, Part 4. And I want you to understand that the enemy is at work with this service today, because as you all saw that we're here for praise and worship, we had screens. We had screens, and all of a sudden, we don't know more. And it's not Mimi's fault. It's technical difficulties. Amen. I want you to understand that anytime that the enemy begins to interrupt the service, it's because he don't want you to get what's for you. Amen. Changing the Game, Part 4. So that means you're going to have to go back to something that we used to do again. We did last week. We're going to have to read the Bible in your hand. Amen. And I'm praying that we become this church that when we're getting ready to get into the sermon, you just get your notebooks out. Amen. Because I am not preaching to entertain you. My desire is to equip you. Amen. All through the Bible, there is story after story that allows us the privilege to see that anyone, whoever came into contact with or rather had an experience with Jesus, was never the same. Amen. Ushers, I got a lot of movement going on. Amen. All in love, all in love. Amen. Last week we talked about, and I really want you to lock in on this one because this is very, very important, all right? Last week we talked about how once Saul, now Paul, was walking on the road to Damascus, breathing thoughts of murder against the Christians, but had an experience with Jesus and had no choice but to change the game. Now, I don't want you to get that last statement twisted. There have been some, I will dare to say, even many, who have had an experience with Jesus and yet remain the same. Because there was something, watch this, or some things in their lives that meant more to them than a relationship with Jesus. And as crazy as that might sound, it's still the truth. The sad truth, but the truth nonetheless. If we think about the encounter of the rich young ruler, and you go ahead and get your Bibles turned to Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24, the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 24, and I'm reading it from the New King James Version today. Okay, I see screens. All right. If we think about that encounter with the rich young ruler, the encounter he had with Jesus, as the story goes on, there we go, we find ourselves rooting for the young ruler. Amen. We find ourselves waiting for him to decide that all he had was nothing in comparison to having Christ. Let's look at it. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life,'" notice that, "'if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, isn't it amazing that he's the rich young ruler? He's got everything, but he understands that he's lacking something. This is a classic example of understanding that money don't take care of everything. You can have all the money in the world, but if your spirit ain't right. Amen. He says, well, what do I still lack? In other words, he says, I'm still lacking something, though I'm doing, you know, the everyday. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse number 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Lord, have mercy. Now, I shared that story with you to show you that there have been times and will be times that people will encounter Jesus but will not choose Jesus because their love for other things will get in their way. All right. And get this. Some of you sit in your chair and shake your head at the rich young ruler. But truth is, ye without sin cast the first stone. In other words, some of you heard that story and you judge the rich young ruler. And we don't see anywhere else in Scripture where the young ruler had a chance to come to his senses and say, God over everything. From what we glean from Scripture, that was his only interaction. And that's really a trip. It's really mind-blowing. But what's even deeper than that is how we judge the rich young ruler, but we have chances day after day, and we still choose the world over Jesus. God has kept you, and you still choose the world over Jesus. God has delivered you, and you still choose the world over Jesus. Let me tell you something. Something prophetic is happening in our church. And she's going to be mad at me, but people be mad at me all the time. No, she shouldn't be. It's actually, I remember when minister, soon to be Pastor Larissa, came to Unity, and she, and I don't know, you know, who all will be able to connect into this story, and I'm really not worried about it. I only fear God. She came to this church, and she was singing a particular group, and some of y'all from Growth know that I used to have, you remember this, Shemek, if you did anything that was questionable outside the house of the Lord, you wasn't doing anything inside the house of the Lord. I'm talking about we was fire and brimstone, baby. You understand? And so I had, even my daughter in the Lord, Minister Sherelle, she would get mad at me. She's like, why can't I preach? I'm like, because you hang around people that hang around people that ain't right. She said, what you talking about? I said, let me tell you something. As long as you, and let me go ahead and bless the house, because I'm going to say some things, and I know I'm going to step on some toes, and I want you to know that I love you. Everything that I say is in love, but we have to stop running around here being cool with the homosexual community, because what we're telling them is it's okay. We've got to stop that. If you love people that are connected to the homosexual community, you've got to tell them that it's not okay. And we can love them, I got home. I got gay people in my family, and I love them dearly. They come to my house. They eat. They all that, right? But you know, my darling, my baby, my niece, who was my everything, got married, and I wouldn't show up. Wouldn't show up. And she respected me enough not to invite me. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, we've got to stop doing this. Well, because I'm cool with a certain sect of people, I can't correct them. The devil is a lie. So when my daughter and the Lord wanted to hang around gay people all the time, and I said, and she could preach. Some of y'all heard her preach. She could preach a roof down. And I said, but you won't preach here. Because then that makes you a leader. And then watch this. I got young people that's going to look up to you. And they're going to think that what you think is cool is cool. And I'm just here to tell you that it's not. So I want to be very clear that while I love all people, everybody, but I don't love the spirit that everybody dwells in sometime. Amen. I want you to be very clear about that. So don't be running around here talking about you can't go to Unity because he don't like it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I love him. You're right. I don't like him. I love him. But if the Lord puts it on my heart, I'm going to deal with it. And it's not to hurt anybody. It's to grow you. And you want a pastor that's going to grow you and say the hard things that, you know, sometimes in certain settings won't be popular. Because if they don't, then you don't have a pastor. You got a pimp. You got somebody to ask you, put your money in the church, but they ain't going to teach you nothing that's going to keep you out of hell. The devil is a lie. Now, while I said gay people, everybody started shaking their head. Let's talk about the whoremongers. You can't hang out with the whoremongers and be in leadership either. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And because of these rules, because of these statutes, because of these, this is what we stand on, a lot of people don't like us. Minister, soon to be Pastor Larissa, came to church, and I knew she could sing, right? But I had a problem. And let me show you how the enemy works. The enemy he tried to amplify that problem. But then I got a text not too long ago, she says, Pastor, just letting you know that I've walked away from. And I said, look at the holiness here. Look at the holiness. Look at the growth. See, it's not that she doesn't love them. She cares about each and every one of them. But how God sees me, Lord have mercy. How my young people in the church see me. What they see that I'm connected to that matters. Now, never in scripture will you see Jesus hanging with people that had spirits. He was around them constantly because he was on the business of delivering them, casting them out. But he wasn't sitting back kicking the tea. Can I just go ahead and say this? That if you connect yourself to anybody, I don't care what their sin may be, on a constant basis, on a day-to-day, baby, you are not changing them. They could be changing you. Yeah. This walk ain't easy. And watch this. You got to love the sinners in your life enough to not be one of them. All right. I would like to pose a question to you in here today. What was the difference between this rich young ruler that we just read about and the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, that we read about last week? Y'all remember that? And so real quickly, you know, we, again, in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24, we see their interaction with Jesus and the rich young ruler. And he's asking Jesus, what's it take for me to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus gives him this list. And the ruler says, I have been about that all my life. What else? What else? And then Jesus said, watch this. In verse number 21, he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now, when Jesus is using the word perfect, he's not meaning without issue or no mistakes. No, Jesus is the only perfect sin-free man that ever walked the earth. So when he speaks of the word perfect, it means mature, complete, or whole. I like to call it on point and in alignment with God. Amen. And he tells him this. He says, this is what it's going to take for you to make it into heaven. And I want you to understand that Jesus, watch this, is intentional about his request. Because he knows the heart of the rich young ruler. He knows how much his riches mean to him. And let me be very clear to everybody in here this morning. God knows what's most important to you, despite what you say. And for you to cross over into being whole, mature, complete, on point, in alignment with, God has to mean everything to you. I need you to write that down. God has to mean everything to me. See, because while you were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. God has to mean everything to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord have mercy. You catch that? Whosoever you are, whatsoever your past is, oh, God, you missed that. He so loved the world. That's John 3:16. For he so loved the world. Not to get it all together, Christians. Not the tithers. Not the good givers, you know. Not just the ones that speak in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And, you know, those cats that can speak in tongues, but they can't speak to people next to them. For he so loved the world. Oh, God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Whosoever you are and whatsoever is your past, he died for you. See, for those of us with some past, you should have shouted and lost your mind right there. Because right there, we found out that Jesus just leveled the playing field. Amen. So it don't make no never mind that we ain't Greek. Oh, God. It don't make no never mind that we ain't Jew. It don't make no never mind that we don't speak in tongues. It don't make no. You understand what I'm saying to you? He levels the playing field. He says, you're somebody to me too. Oh, God. Whew. And all we have to do is confess him and believe in him. And let me just go ahead and put this out there while y'all already mad at me. It shouldn't be hard to trust God after some of the shady people that you've given your trust over to. Amen. I mean, you trusted people with no proof at all that they would handle you right. But you got 66 books of history, ancestry, prophecy, and truth that says, yeah, we can trust him. You got a book that has never been able to be proven wrong. You understand what I'm saying to you? But we still will. How in the world do we trust people? Can I just go ahead and talk to the ladies for a minute? How you trust a dude with four kids by three different mamas, and now he's up to you, and you think you're gonna be the one? Can somebody make that make sense? Huh? He ain't in church. He ain't got no job. He don't even hardly ever have his kids. But he get to you, and now all of a sudden it's going to make a difference. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. But we have a problem trusting the one who has never failed. We got a problem trusting the one that has never played us, that has never left us for dead. And he's not this faithful on the strength of our faithfulness towards him,
Because truth being told, most of us don't deserve that, but he's faithful to us because he loves us. If God being faithful to you was contingent upon how faithful you've been to him, then how faithful would he have to be in the covenant? So I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad that I serve a God that don't keep score.
Lord, have mercy. I don't know about nobody else, but if he kept score, my blessing game would be on short. You hear me? Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, look here, I want you to sell everything. And he had to give it to the poor. And look at the response in verse number 22. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Woo. Now let's look back over at Saul's conversion, a conversation with Jesus, and how that plays out. If y'all remember last week, we talked about how Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 was heading to Damascus, and he was breathing thoughts of murder, threats of murder against the Christians. And then a light shines down from heaven and knocks Saul and his crew down. And Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Oh, God. Why are you persecuting me? And he said, Saul said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the way the story goes and ends is Jesus continuously, through the rest of then Saul, now Paul's life, talks to him, gives him instructions, gives him encouragement, and Paul does whatever Jesus says, because to Paul, God was everything. This is the difference. I want you to catch it. You see, the difference is the ruler and Saul upon first meeting. Did you see it? The difference was the soul position. The difference was what was considered treasure in the hearts of these two men. And I want you to understand that the difference between the Apostle Paul and many of us is our soul position. I want you to catch that. And the reason that we've seen so many people come here, hear the word, this is what we were talking about earlier, hear the word, and then we never see them again, isn't because the praise team was horrible. The praise team's dope. It wasn't because the preaching sucked. They got the word. Here's the deal. It was because of the position of their soul. It is because there are more people than we care to admit that deem as important money, spouses, sex, image, et cetera, more than they care about God. And I see it all the time. Everywhere time we go out, we'll bump into somebody, and they always catch me. I see them, but I'm willing to let them off the hook, right? I don't even say nothing. I don't. Some of y'all sitting in here know I'm telling the truth. I see you. You don't know that I seen you, and I'm going to act like I didn't. And I'm looking out for you. I've been to church. I ain't got no reason to be feeling no type of way. And they always, Pastor. And I'm like, gluttons for punishment. Hey, what's up? And I just wanted to speak to you. But see, that's the thing. No, you didn't. You didn't want to just speak to me. Something on the inside of you said, hold on, I'm everything might not be crazy, but everything ain't as it should be. You remember when Jesus got off the boat of Gadarenes and the demon-possessed man ran to him? The demon-possessed man ran to him, to Jesus. And then he going to ask Jesus something silly like, what are you doing here? You here to torture me? Man, you ran up on me. You ran up on me. I tend to believe that there's because there was a tiny bit of that man left. And he said, hold on, that looks like Jesus. This looks like the one we've heard about. And he rushed Jesus. So I say something to people, we be out, and I say something like, I just think to myself, well, you asked for it. I might as well hit you with it. I'm like, where you been? Since you want to talk. Where you been? And then I put some sugar on it. We missed you. We missed you. Kenny's over mad. He did that to me. That's okay. Everywhere we went, we saw Kenny. He would not let it go. Miriam one day said, why does Kenny keep you? I said, he's a glutton for punishment. But you see where Kenny is now? You understand what I'm saying to you? So get this. And all of you that are pushing Unity Worship Center, you know this is the truth. So when you see people that hasn't been in the ministry for a while and you say, we've missed you, the first thing they'll do is drop their head. Well, let's go back to the rich young ruler. He walked away sorrowful. They're sorry that they haven't been coming. But the reality is, I got some other gods. And these gods, they kind of mean a little more to me than Jesus right now. Now, here's the coldest part of that, all of that right here. Here's the emotional punch, you know what I mean, just body blows, right? And I know God loves me. And I know I should be there, but I'm a slave to my choice right now. I'm a slave to my decision. You see what I'm saying to you? And it had never fails. They always drop their head. And the Lord told me, because I used to be like, body blow, now I'm going to go for the head. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord said, oh, now here's the part where you love on them. So now I say things like, nah, I really miss you. Come on home. Come on home. You see, because the reality is, it's not about me being upset with them for not coming to church. What's important is that they come on home. See, because if they connected to this ministry, it is for the most part, it is a godsend. Which means they have destiny on their life. Which means they have an enemy that is beating the brakes off them as long as they stay outside of the house of the Lord and in the presence of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? So ain't no way in the world that we can sit back and see people that's connected to this ministry, even when they don't want to accept it themselves, and just be like, well, that's them. If they don't want to come, that's on them. They got to deal with it. The devil is a lie. You ought to spend more time that night in prayer, your heart bleeding out, because you understand that somebody that has a destiny connected to God is being bamboozled, is being hoodwink is being prayed to the 10th power, and it's going to cost them eternity. It's going to cost them eternity. And if you okay with that and you can sleep well with that and if you can get away with that's them, they grown, then guess what? It might be costing you eternity. Because the whole premise of this thing is love. Maybe it ain't blessings. It ain't breakthrough. It ain't higher heights and deeper depths. It's love. And as you begin to mature in Christ, you understand that love don't necessarily mean what you used to think love mean. Oh, God, let me get this thing. Let me get this in there. Just like the rich young ruler, these people that we see all the time, sad, broken, and without hope because they know the right thing is to be with the Lord.
but they love something else far greater. And what happens is, watch this, they hear the truth. It deals with them. This is something else that goes on here at Unity. You was prophetic this morning. They hear the truth. It deals with them. And Satan, in this sanctuary, begins to get in their mind and says things like, you know you shouldn't come back. You shouldn't come back. Watch the game. Watch the game. You shouldn't go back to that church till you get yourself together. They ain't playing. Can I go ahead and say this to every prayer warrior in the room? This is why as soon as Sunday school is over, actually, 15 minutes before Sunday school starts, while the praise team is practicing, prayer warriors ought to be walking through the house, decreeing and declaring that no demonic entity can stay here nor come in and be comfortable. It has to go. Yeah, I remember we used to do that at the old church, and we wouldn't see nothing. All we would see is deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so get this. I need you to understand this. Is that we've got to get to the point to where we begin to pray. So that the ones that's in the world come into the house and they're able to have an experience without the enemy in their ear. So what he does is this is our code. Now this is how code is. You got to peep this. This is how code Satan is. He says something to him like, you don't need to go back over there till you get yourself together. They ain't playing over there. That's how code he is. Cause the preacher is right. Watch this, and he'll say this: you do need to get it together. Yeah. And let me tell you, the enemy is so cold with it that he'll tell you the preacher's right. Yeah. Cause I gotta see when you're on the brink of breakthrough, you gotta be careful because he's got to agree with you. Because when you're on fire for God, not agreeing with God makes him, you know, the believer will see the enemy. But if I agree with you, then you don't see me. Be careful of everybody that's agreeing with you. This is how cold it is. He'll tell you the preacher is right. While all the time warping your mind, warping your sense of thinking. And he will even suggest, watch this, this is what the enemy will do. He'll suggest another church. He'll play on your convictions, right? And he'll say, well, you need to go over to Candyland Christian Church, right? You need to go over there, and he'll suggest to the stance on holiness isn't so intense. And he whispers things like, now this is your speed. You can baby step your way in here. And just as soon as you grow a little stronger, then you can go back over there, knowing that you will give years of your life away in a church not growing a bit, but at least you're comfortable. I'm the new kid on the block. Our ministry ain't been up long. Is it anybody in the building that knows what I'm talking about? That you can just go ahead and tell the truth? I was in a ministry. I wasn't growing, but I was comfortable. I wasn't growing, but my friends was there. I wasn't going, but it was the family church. It's the family church. You ain't got, let me tell y'all something about the family church. You ain't got stock one in that church. What there is, are you ready for this? This is real. A demonic spell that's been cast over you to make you feel bad every time you don't operate in tradition by staying in the family church. That church don't got, that church don't say First Presbyterian Baptist Jones, Stephen Lyons. No. It is a curse that you are operating in. Watch this, and you got to be careful of guilt because guilt will keep you out of a real church. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me in here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Ought to be able to go to church and feel good. Not if you ain't right. No, you shouldn't. You go to it, I feel good. Not if you ain't right. You should be contemplating coming back every Sunday if you ain't right. But at least you're comfortable. I say off with the head of the snake and down with the demon of manipulation. It's time to change the game. I'm done. I want you to catch this. Your soul is made up of three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. So get this. Your feelings are in your soul. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Your decision-making power is in your soul. And your mind and your thinking is in your soul. Oh, God. And this makes the soul the most important part of your life. You understand me? And let me explain why. The battle in life is for your soul. Yeah. It's for your soul. Oh, God. I'm going to get into this deeper on our Facebook page. But I want to end this today by beseeching you, encouraging you, begging you to check your soul position. And if it's not in the right spot. And let me go ahead and tell you this. You know if it's not in the right spot. You know if your soul ain't in the right spot. Every last one of us in here knows. You know, ain't no eating in church. Every one of us in here knows if your heart, if your soul is in right position. None of you have to say, well, and let me show you what the enemy does. He be having people on stupid stuff. He takes me talking about, does this mean that my soul is out of position? If you had to ask the question, then you know. And not only that, you deal with a spirit of needing attention because you're contacting me and you don't really need to, but you're just trying to get attention from somewhere. And you begin to, you know, ask stupid questions. Waste my time questions is what I like to call them. And we family, right? So I want you to know something about your spiritual father in the house. Okay, I want you to understand this. Most of the time, not all, but most of the time, if you text me something that, you know, and I don't answer back, I want you to ask yourself, and me not, stop it, Kim. Me not answering you is not that I don't love you, but if I feed into what it is that you're fiending for, I make you worse, not better. So some people be, you know, they keep these secrets. See, pastors don't tell this stuff. You know, I'll just be ignoring them because it don't make no sense to me. No, I'm going to tell you the truth so you stop doing it. If you text me something, and I don't, I mean, it ain't every time. Sometimes I just be busy, right? But and things get past me. But for the most part, I ain't even gonna lie. If you text me something that's stupid, I'll get up and walk away from my phone. Let you see the red, the read in the, you know, I'm gonna tell you, he read it. I'll let you see all that, yeah. Little dot come down, he read that. I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that. Well, what am I supposed to do after that? You need to look at that question again. And then text me and say, my bad, Bishop. My bad. Listen, in closing, I want you to catch this. We're getting close to the new year. And I told all of you that when we go to into 24, it's going to be powerful. But powerful don't always mean good. It will be powerful for those that are ready. For those that are ready. And for those of us that are playing games, it's going to feel like you got a foot on your neck. You understand me? So I'm spending the rest of this year trying to get you to change, if necessary, because everybody don't need a soul change. Some people just need to go deeper in God. But some people need to understand what worship really is. And worship is what? Going from where you are to where he is. I want you to understand, they have lied to us for the most of it.
God loves you no matter what you do. And no matter what you do, as long as you love God, you're going to heaven. The devil is a lie. It's a lie. And I'll stand flat-footed with any preacher and tell him, you are lying and you need to go back to the pits of hell from which you come. That once saved, always saved is a doctrine from the pit of hell. If that was the case, why did Jesus say, be ye holy, for I am holy? He didn't say, be ye ho-ish. Buddy, I just lost the church. I just lost the church. I just lost the church right there. Yeah. He didn't say that. He said, be ye holy. Stop thinking you can go do anything that you want to do and then go cop you some cheap forgiveness and now everything is okay. The Bible says, for if you sin after you willfully know the truth, there no longer remains a remission for your sins.